Our call to worship this morning is in your worship folder. Just the chorus of What a Day That Will Be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Sing it again.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Save me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Our Heavenly Father, this morning we give you thanks and praise that not only can we look forward to your love and grace and strength of getting us through this day, getting us through this time in our history. But Lord, we thank you that we've got all eternity to look forward to with you. We pray now that you would meet with us. Have your way in this service. May we give you the honor and praise, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand together as we sing number 701. 701. When we all get to heaven. Here we go.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. Clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling far over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, sing and shout the victory.
Sing it now.
When we all get to heaven, of rejoicing at the beginning, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Let's unite our voices now in this historic confession of our Christian faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence you shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If you haven't picked up on it yet, the theme for this worship service is heaven. We started off with a chorus of What a Day That Will Be. We sang When We All Get to Heaven. In a little while, the choir is going to sing Jesus Will Outshine Them All. And then our closing hymn is What a Day That'll Be, both verses and the choruses. In the meantime, I'd like to share a song with you that talks about heaven, talks about someone that had a dream about going there. Keith? A little more.
I dreamed of a city called Glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, holy, the angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. Sights I did see, but then I said, I want to see Jesus, 'cause he's the one who died.
All knew me well. they led me down the streets of heaven. All the sights, too many to tell. I saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Spoke with Mark, Luke, and Timothy. And then I said, Timothy, I want to see Jesus, 'cause he's the one. Prepare our hearts for prayer. Are there joys and concerns you'd like to share with the family of God this morning? Okay, thank you. Sharon? All the students and all the teachers and all the staff, all the administrators, all the others. Yes. These are trying time, folks. I can remember some of my first days of school and they were bad enough, but they weren't dealing with anything like they're dealing with now. Remember the people in Middle Tennessee? Heard just a little bit ago that they got, 17 inches of rain over there? Almost a dozen people dead already. Pray for the people in North Carolina. Pray for the people in Afghanistan. I don't care where you are politically. It is a mess over there and people are dying. Pray for them. Any others? Yes. Oh, my. Yes. Her niece died, left an 11-year-old daughter behind. Need to remember them in our prayers. There are a lot of things commanding our attention now. It'd be very, very easy to get distracted and distraught unless we remember that as God's children, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And that's what our prayer course says this morning. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Upon Jesus, full face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, realizing that we are but pilgrims passing through this land. We thank you, Lord, that the songwriter was able to say, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. But Lord, in the meantime, there are so many things with which we have to deal. We pray today that you'd be with all of those who are affected by the pandemic. Be with those, Lord, who have the virus, be with their families, be with all of the first responders who are having to help deal with it, many of them for days at a time without seeing their own families. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with all of those who are being afflicted by the ravages of nature, the floods, the fires, the earthquakes, so many other things. We pray today, Lord, that you would be with each one of them. Be with the people of Haiti as they go through this again. We pray, Lord, that you would be with the people of New York and New England as they face the oncoming hurricane. We pray that amidst the winds and waves of Henri that they might feel your presence. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with the family of this niece. What a tragedy. We pray that you'd be with that 11-year-old daughter. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with the other family members and friends that were mentioned. We're so glad that you are the great physician. We're so glad that your word promises us that we can cast our every care upon you, because you do care for us. Help us, Lord, that we might dare trust you in these troubling times. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As per usual, the offering receptacles are at the front and back doors. Please remember your church. It'd be nice if we could say, well, we've only got 30, 40, 50% of our people, so we can operate on 30 or 40 or 50% of the budget. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, and we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness down through the years. Please remember those that are there. I noticed the pastor didn't put the offertory, It's going to be one of those days, folks. He didn't put the praise God from whom all blessings flow in the bulletin. If you've got it ready, Keith, let's do it anyway. Going to sing that? Okay. Let's do that. Here we go, choir.
Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunions on streets of gold. Angel choir singing that praises forever, but Jesus will outshine them all. Oh, what glory awaits me in heaven's bright city when I get there. Such sights I'll behold. A million scenes of rare beauty will demand that I view them, but Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunion on streets of gold, angel choir singing, this is forever, but Jesus will outshine them all. Sparkling rivers flowing, happy faces all glowing, land of splendor where night never falls. The golden glass gives reflection to that city's perfection, but still Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunion on streets of gold. Angel choir singing glad praises forever, but Jesus will outshine them all. Yes, Jesus will outshine them all. My precious Jesus will outshine them all.
Now we will do the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for all of these gifts. We thank you for the giver. We thank you for the one who's unable to give today. We pray that your blessings would be upon each of them. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated.
Today's scripture is Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. The sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, the home of God is now among his people. He will live with them and will be his people, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will remove all of their sorrows, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, for the old world and its evils are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give the springs of the water of life without charge. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. When I first came to the Holston Conference in 93, I was pastoring at what used to be Lake City, and also at Briceville, and then later on it was Lake City and Dutch Valley. The Dutch Valley Church was about 10 miles away from the Lake City Church. The speed limit was 30 miles an hour. And it's very difficult to start a service at 10 o'clock and then take that slow drive all the way back to Lake City. Many was the Sunday when I would come in while they were just finishing the first hymn. And I discovered that I was halfway through the sermon, usually before my brain caught up with me. Well, I think I had a relapse this morning with the doxology. But I think I'm all here now. I think you know that I'm also at Chevron Church. And just this morning, we started, instead of 10 o'clock, we started at quarter till 10 to give us a little more leeway in getting back here and hopefully getting all my pieces together before we start the service. In the early years of my ministry, there was a cliche that was going around that was kind of popular. And at first, I thought it was kind of cute. I heard a preacher say, "Don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good." Sounds cute. But you know, I've discovered in over 50 years of ministry that there has never been one person that I can recall that was so heavenly minded that they weren't any earthly good. On the other hand, there have been a whole bunch of people professing to be Christians, a whole bunch of church folk, who were so earthly minded that they weren't getting a whole lot done for the kingdom of heaven. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, says, "As we study history, we find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought the most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this one." A group of third graders were asked about their ideas about heaven. And you know, all of us, we've got a bunch of misconceptions about it, but one of the third graders said, "Well," he said, "heaven is where you get everything you want. But if you want too much, you may not get there." Another one said, "Heaven should be the happiest part of my dead life." In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, "God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." The Egyptian pyramids go back some 3,000 to 5,000 years. We're told that just one of those pyramids might take 100,000 workers 40 years to complete. Even more impressive is that the Egyptian civilization had a concept of the afterlife. These elaborate preparations were all for that afterlife. We get all wrapped up in the here and now that we forget about the there and then. There was a bumper sticker that said, "I want it all and I want it now." Maybe you've seen another one that said, "The one who dies with the most toys wins." To paraphrase Jesus, he said, "What does it profit you if you have all the toys and lose your soul?" Revelation is difficult to understand because there's a lot of symbolism there. A lot of it is symbolism that we have to understand what it was the author was trying to say. Bill Hybels used to be the pastor of Willow Creek Community Church just north of Chicago. It was a church about the size of Rockford, except they ran about 24,000 on Sunday morning. Few more. I think we've got 35 here today, and that's great. I'll take it. But that was his problem, not ours. But anyway, he told that when he was a boy, when he was in junior high school, he was in the choir. And like most boys, he did not enjoy being in the junior high choir. The music teacher would always say to them, if you want to go to heaven, you better like singing. You better like this choir, too. Bill said at that point, "I really wasn't sure I wanted to go to heaven anyway. Who wants to wear a choir robe for 10 billion years? Sometimes an hour is too long to wear one of those things." But John uses all these symbols in the book of Revelation to talk about heaven. Let me give you a comparison. You've got the opportunity to go back 200 years in time, around 1820, 1821, somewhere around there, and you meet with your great-great-grandparents, and you finally convince them that you're from the 21st century, and they ask you what things are like there. So you get to telling them, "Well, we have radio." "What's radio?" "Oh, you turn the knob and the music comes on and you can hear people speaking." "Okay. And we have television." "What's television?" "Well, it's a box and you get these pictures on there and you can see movies." "What are movies?" You know, and on and on, trying to describe all of the stuff that's going on. And then, of course, we go on and we talk about microwaves and automobiles and airplanes and space shuttles and any telephone at all, but let alone a cell phone. You know, I used to sell Collier's encyclopedias, about 35 volumes, weighed about 350 pounds, cost about $350 even back then. Actually, we gave the encyclopedia away, but for the yearbook service and for the free write-in and say, "How do I build a backyard barbecue?" and all that, it was $10 a month for 3 years. That's $360 for a free set of encyclopedias. But anyway, that set of encyclopedias did not have as much information as I have right here in my hand. Try to explain that to your great-great-grandparents. Try to tell them about email and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all that good stuff. You understand now what it'd be like if we tried to explain it to our ancestors, or if they came here and went back and tried to explain it? They'd probably be burned at the stake for being a witch. I guess by then it stopped burning witches. Never mind. But anyway, you get the idea. There's a lot of symbolism involved. In order for you and me to really be able to grasp what heaven is all about, I want us to focus on one word. Relationship. Okay? And there are three basic truths about that word relationship. First of all, heaven is a new relationship. John was trying to tell us that when we get to heaven, we're going to have a relationship that's going to be different than anything we've experienced here on earth. Look at part of our scripture this morning. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. Notice how many times the word new appears here. There was no longer any sea, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God. Verse 5, he who sits on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. There are two dimensions of this new relationship. First of all, heaven is a place to live. John talks about a new heaven and a new Jerusalem, a new earth. The former things of earth will pass away. Hebrews 11:16 says, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You remember in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they had to deal with thorns and thistles and briars and toil and sweat and all of that. Now there's a new city. There's a new Jerusalem. There's going to be a new earth. In other words, paradise is going to be regained. I don't know if you've read the book, The Shack, or not. Sometimes a book's kind of hard to get into. If you get a chance, get the DVD. The movie's a little bit easier to follow. But basically, the premise there is that there is a new earth just waiting to be born, waiting to be created. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, as far as I'm concerned, heaven could be right here. Once God does a major demolition and remodeling, you'll never guess what programs Catherine and I have been watching lately. But anyway, you know, we've got so much beauty here. I mean, here in East Tennessee, that's about as close to heaven as you can get. But imagine if God took over and all of a sudden all the bad was gone and all the good was here. What a difference it would make. Not only a new way to live, but community. It's going to be a holy city. There won't be any sin there. Think of living in a perfect city where there's no crime, no sin, none of that stuff. As Christians, we come together as community on Sundays. We sing praises, worship, pray, and study God's word. And doing this, we strengthen our hearts and warm our fellowship. There should be times when God's presence is so real in a service that we don't want to leave. I realize that doesn't always happen, but that's the way the holy city is going to be. John is saying that we are going to live in a place where none of these old things are going to be. No longer will this earth be infested with thistles, thorns, and briars. No longer will this earth be dug into for graves and plotted for cemeteries. No longer will the soil be dampened by tears from broken hearts. No longer will the soil be stained with blood. In fact, kind of hard for us to understand all the things that heaven will be and will have. But let me share with you some of the things that will not be in heaven. In fact, just to make sure you get some of them, at least some of them, let me tell you about 150 things that will not be in heaven. Now, it took me a while to put this list together, okay? I'm not kidding. In heaven, there'll be no anger, no attitudes, no abuse, no accidents, no arson, no anarchy, no addictions, no arguments, no bullying, no burdens, no bad days, no bills, no boredom, no blindness, no blame, no banks, no death. Oh, I'm sorry, no cancer. Do you know cancer is over 130 different diseases? all put together under the umbrella of cancer. That won't be in heaven. There won't be any crying, no chaos, no calendars, no cell phones, no confusion, no criticism, no complaining, no death, no drugs, no dementia, no droughts, no disabilities, no depression, no danger, no darkness, no doctors, no excuses, no enemies, no elections, no errors, no egotism, no evil, no envy, no embarrassment, no fighting, no fires, no funerals, no failures, no fear, no floods, no frustration, no falseness, no filth, no gangs, no guilt, no gossip, no goodbyes, no gender issues, no graves, no grief, no grouches, no heartache, no heart attacks, no homelessness, no hopelessness, no helplessness, no hunger or hospitals or hatred, no impatience, no income tax, no ingratitude, no inconsistency, no insurance, no ignorance, no jealousy, no jails. You thought I was kidding when I said 150, didn't you? Okay, letter K, no killing, no loneliness, no loss, no limitations, no locks, no lying, no layoffs, no lawlessness, no murder, no Mondays, no misunderstandings, no mental illness, no mask, no malice, no mortgages, no mosquitoes, no night, no neglect, no nightmares, no needles, no nervousness, no old age, no orphans, no opposition, no oppression, no operations, no pollution, no prejudice, no profanity, no poverty, no pills, no prison, no politics, no pandemics, no pain, no pessimism, no quarrels, no questions, no regrets, no robocalls. You will not get any more calls in heaven about your warranty of being about to expire. Aren't you glad? No rebellion, no riots, no remorse, no revenge, no rejection, no sorrow, no separation, no storms, no sarcasm, no sickness, no selfishness, no Satan, no suicide, no terrorist, no trials, no tiredness, no thirst, no temptation, no tears, no traffic jams or television, no theft, no unkindness, no vacuuming, no vandalism, no vulgarity, no wars, no weapons, no wheelchairs. Arvel, you're going to be able to put up that wheelchair. Aren't you glad? No worry, no weeds, no wounds, no watches, no x-rays, no yelling, and no zoos. I had to have something with the letter Z. You might say, wait a minute, I like zoos. Well, the animals are all going to be there, but they won't have to be caged. The songwriter said, the beasts from the wild will be led by a child. Wouldn't that be great, being able to cuddle up with a lion? Being able to have an elephant tagging along behind you? Not only is heaven a relationship, a new relationship, but it's also an intimate relationship. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. When John tried to describe what heaven was going to be like, he didn't have words for it. The only thing that he could really compare it to was a wedding. Think of this now. Think of this wedding analogy here. First of all, there's a preparation. If you have ever prepared for a wedding, as many of you, most of you have, you know it takes time and money and planning. The scripture tells us the day's coming when we're going to have the marriage supper with the Lamb, where the bride, the church, is going to be reunited with the groom, Jesus Christ. What a meal that will be. Among other things, I'm sure that they're going to have fried chicken and banana pudding there. Think of all the planning that's gone into this event. God started planning for this before the foundation of this world, through the Old Testament, through the prophets and the priests and the judges, and then with Jesus himself coming into the world. So often we hear about weddings that cost $20,000, $50,000, $80,000, $100,000 or more. Think of what this wedding cost. Jesus gave his life on Calvary's cross so it could take place. Not only is there preparation, there's purity. John talks about this purity in John 3. He says, "Beloved, now we're children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, even as he is pure." John sees the saints in white robes, adorned in white because before Jesus Christ, because our sins are under the blood, we will be seen as pure. Do you remember those commercials that used to be on for the chewy granola bars? One of them, there's a little boy in it. He was at a wedding, and he walked up to the bride, and he says, "My mother says she can't believe you're wearing white." Oh, bless his heart. Okay, not only is there preparation and purity, but also this presence. Verse 3, the tabernacle of God is among people. You remember the tabernacle was symbolic of the presence of God, where the glory of God fell. People went there to get close to God. It symbolized God's presence. John says they will be God's people and God will be among them. And then also, this wedding is of promise. Leviticus 26, 11. God said, "I will set my tabernacle among you and I will walk among you and be your God and you will be my people." Jeremiah 31, 33. "I will be their God and they will be my people." Ezekiel 37, 27. "I will make my home among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. And when my temple is among them forever, the nations will know that I am the Lord." Thirdly, heaven is an individual relationship. There's a personal relationship there. He said also, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all that are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children." Okay, with all of that said, how do we get prepared for heaven? First of all, we need to realize that salvation is free. What do we have to do? What do we have to give? Nothing. We just open our hearts and we accept the free gift of eternal life from God. We can't work for it. We can't earn our way. None of us deserve it. It's all because of God's amazing grace. Secondly, God also prepares us for heaven by giving us strength that is faithful. As we read through the scriptures, we find that the ones that are going to heaven are those who are victorious. Some form of the word overcome is used 14 different times in the book of Revelation. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." John says, "Those who made it are overcomers. God gives strength that will not fail." And then thirdly, the relationship is forever. "I will be their God and they will be my children." If you get a chance sometime today or this week, I'm sure you already do this, but think of all of the family and friends that we have waiting for us in heaven. Think of all the family and friends that you haven't even met yet who are there. I don't remember either one of my grandfathers. I've got a picture of me standing about knee high to my paternal grandfather, but I don't remember him. On my mother's side, I knew my step-grandfather, but not my grandfather. But the day's going to come when I'm going to meet them, I'm going to know them, they're going to know me. That's exciting. It's all about relationships. One of the scary things about hell is that there are no relationships there. Somebody flippantly said, well, there's no reason to worry. Either I'll live or I'll die. If I live, no worry. If I die, I'll either go to heaven or hell. If I go to heaven, no worry. If I go to hell, I'll be so busy shaking hands with friends that I won't even notice. Not so. We will not have any friends in hell. We will not know our parents, our grandparents, our children, our grandchildren. In hell, there's no joy, only sorrow. In hell, there's no light, only darkness. Jesus told his disciples there in the Gospel of John, I go to prepare a place for you. If we have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we can have all of the blessings and benefits of heaven. And we can have God's grace and strength to get us through this life here. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and fix our minds and hearts on heaven. Remind us that this life, as long as it seems to be drawn out, is, like your word describes it, just a fleeting vapor. It's a puff of steam. Here 1 second and gone the next. But we get to spend all of eternity with you. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' wonderful name, and all God's people said, amen. As a closing hymn, there's an insert in your worship folder with the words on it. I'd like for us to stand together and sing that song that says, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see.
Day, glorious day, that will be.
now. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, what a glorious day that will be.
Now may you leave this place with God's love and grace and power overflowing your hearts, with one eye around you to see who you might share God's grace with, and the other eye fixed on Jesus Christ in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.